This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Okay, and let me just run through briefly what we're going to cover this afternoon. Much of this is in your notes. Of course, some may not be. We want to start off by talking about why the need to study end time, because it's so important. My desire is never approach it from the perspective of anger or the angle of understanding as a theology and theory. You know, I think theology and theory is so important because that set the foundation and the grid for us to understand it correctly. But my heart, when I teach about end time, is always I want to talk about reality, because it's some things that is real. It could, it may happen within our lifetime. You know, right now, body of Christ, most part of the world, body of Christ believe that we are fast approaching end time. If we are fast approaching end time, we cannot treat this subject, this issue, or this topic, whatever you call it, as just another theory. It has to be a reality. Because if it's a theory, it will not move our heart. But when we see it as a reality, because at the end of the day, the most important thing as we study the subject of end time, not just aware or know what will happen, what is about to happen, or the event, or the shaking and so on, but really is the heart of God. And what does God want from us? How should we prepare ourselves so that we can partner with Him even in such hour? Amen? So I pray that the Lord will breathe life into whatever they're going to talk about so that it come forth like a reality. You know, I always say this, which is true. We're going to prove to you sometime along today. I believe that we are the generation that Jesus will return. Again, I'm not saying tomorrow. No one know. Maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. The Bible does teach us that we should not predict the precise time and hour. But the Bible does teach us that the generation can know. Right? We won't know exactly when. If someone come and tell you September 11, 2016, or 2016 is over, okay. September 11, 2020, okay. Just pick out a chair and throw at the person. But the Bible does teach us that the generation will know, because there are enough information, there are enough signs for us to know that we are actually heading towards end of the age. Not just heading towards there, we are actually raising there. That's why many people, including myself, believe that there are people who are alive today will see the second coming of Jesus. It's a reality. We don't know when. It can be 10 years, it can be 20 years, it can be 30 years, it can be 40 years, it can be 50 years. No one knows exactly. But it has to be this generation, because there are enough signs. There are people alive today who will see the return of Jesus. Probably not within my lifetime. Sucks. I mean, you say, why do you want? No, that's the finest hour of human history. The return of Jesus. If you don't want, I'll exchange with you. Probably not within my lifetime. But in my opinion, again, it's my opinion, but I'll show it to you from the scripture, our children were likely to see it. Wow. The Bible called them the blessed generation. The blessed generation. So we're going to talk about it as a reality. So we're going to run through why the need to study end time. Second, I will give you about, there are probably more, but I'm just going to give you 7 common misconceptions about end time. Because I'm not too sure about yourself. When I grow up, I hear a lot of teaching about end time, didn't realize that a lot of it are actually misconception. For example, 1, okay, probably some of you are old enough to understand, you know, this misconception. Jesus could return anytime. Have you heard that before? Yeah, I will tell you, is it true or is it not true? Okay, so I run through some common misconception about end time. Then the third thing is that I want to answer a few questions. Can we know the time? Can we know the time? Should we know the time? How do we know that we are the generation that Jesus is returning? Okay, it cannot be based on my opinion or your opinion, because my opinion and your opinion is not the most important, because we all can be wrong. But what does the Bible say? You know, especially when we study end time and we want to derive a conclusion, a truth or a theory, it cannot be based on what I think or what you think. Because a lot of time, we read the Bible, we are reading the Bible to prove our opinion is right. Not actually the other way around. We read the Bible to see whether what Bible say is true. Amen? So I'm going to answer these three questions based on the scripture. Can we know the time? Should we know the time? Because I grew up, many people teach me that you won't know. So don't even bother. Okay. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'm 52, or sometimes I say I'm 26, the second time. Okay. I grew up people telling me that don't even bother. Don't study because you cannot understand. Okay. And especially the book of Revelation, don't even read it because it will cause you to be confused. Okay. I always scratch my head. Then why does it call the book of Revelation? It should be called the book of confusion. Okay, actually, Book of Revelation is not that hard to understand. It's just 22 chapter book. If you understand the structure, the flow, and there are about 8 to 10 symbols. If you understand all those symbols, actually, it's easy for us to understand the Book of Revelation. Okay, so I'm going to answer these three questions. The fourth one is that I'm going to define for you what is end time. It's so important for us to define what is end time? So that we don't just get caught up in trying to find out events, people, and so on. I think it's important for us to understand event, people, so on and so on. But if we do not understand what is end time, why end time, what end time is all about, we will always major in the minor and minor in the major. Okay, because end times is always part of God's redemptive plan. It's always one part of the salvation plan of God. It's always one part of the full counsel of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just unfortunately, over the years, the Church of Jesus Christ has kind of neglected it because we have this idea that end time is kind of like one of those not that important topic for believers. Because if you read, especially the epistles, there's major in every epistle from the book of Romans all the way to the book of Jude, they always talk about the return of Jesus because that is the primary message for the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's so important for every believer to understand. I'll explain to you slightly further. So I'm going to define for you what is end time. And lastly, we're going to give you an overview of end time. Let me pick up all the events that the Bible talks about end time and put it together. You'll be surprised. Actually, we can know with clarity, except we don't know the specific timing. Okay, you have a chart. There's one chart. I don't have it here right now. It's a chronological timeline of end time. If you search a scripture long enough, pull out every detailed information and put it together, we can understand from now all the way until Jesus returns what is going to happen. We actually can. Just that we will not know the precise and specific hour. Amen? Okay, let's talk about why we need to study end time. Then we're going to dive into Matthew chapter 24 to answer a few questions. But let me just give you 5 steps in approaching this subject, because it's unlikely that we can cover everything. Because even if we spend another 10 hours, because this subject is so vast, it's unlikely that we can cover everything. The key is we are just trying to help you to start this a journey. It's a process, okay? I've been studying this for more than 20 years, and that kind of give me a little bit understanding, but there's so much information, okay? So there are 5 steps in approaching how do you study end time. Okay, people say, yeah, but I won't understand because I've never been to seminary. Don't worry, I've never been to seminary too. Okay, you don't have to go to seminary to understand the Bible. Amen. Bible is written for everyone to understand. So it's not true. They say, yeah, I don't understand Hebrew, I don't understand Greek. Well, 99% of Christians around the world don't understand Hebrew or Greek. You can understand. You can always buy commentary, concordance, and so on. Can help you to understand. But Bible is primarily written for everyone to understand. Amen? If there are some things, some words that we don't understand, we can search it out. So it's not impossible. Okay? Not impossible. We know New Testament is written in Greek, isn't it? Right. Old Testament is in Hebrew. New Testament is in Greek, okay. If you understand New Testament and you understand the Greek language, okay, I know a few Greek word, amen. Okay, that's one of them. Okay, I know a few Hebrew, hallelujah, you know, El Shaddai, you know. My point is we can't understand, okay, but come back to New Testament. New Testament is written in Greek, and you understand the language of Greek. Greek has different level, from the aristocrats all the way to the commoner. The language of Greek used to write New Testament is the lowest of the lower. It's for commoners to understand. So it's not impossible. Amen? We can. The Bible makes it very clear. We have the Word. And we have the Holy Spirit. Right now we have Google too. So you can Google and find out some root word. Okay, so that helps. Okay, yeah. Holy Google. No, I hope there's one. Okay, five step. Just simple five-step approach, because this is very important. Firstly is this. That's why it takes time, because the information is, there are a lot of information. Some people say it's overwhelming. That's good. Okay. The first step is you get to gather every detailed information from the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There are about 150 chapters that emphasize or talks about end time. So you need to gather all the detailed biblical information from the Bible. Not just studying or reading someone's book. I think it's important. You can use this as a reference. But you don't make a conclusion based on someone's opinion. Understand what I'm talking about? Just like today. I always say this, you don't have to agree with what we are going to tell you today. But search a scripture, like the Bereans in Acts 17, to see what we say is correct. It's not important to ask whether you agree or don't agree what we say. More important is you need to ask, search a Bible and see what the Bible say. Is it correct? Amen? So the first step as you study end time is that, gather every detailed information from the Bible. Because one of the great mistakes when people make a conclusion about end time is we pick up one verse and decide this is what it says. For example, the issue of rapture. You know, it's the greatest controversy in the book in the Church of Jesus Christ pertaining to end time. Pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture, or mid-tribulation rapture. So what does the Bible say? Bible actually has an answer. Okay, and now there are even people talk about there are two rapture. Okay, there are two rapture. Okay, so what does the Bible say? I'll prove it to you slightly later. Okay, the question, the ultimate question is, will the church be around during the Great Tribulation? Actually, the Bible has a clear answer. It's quite easy to prove. People say, oh, it's not conclusive. It's actually quite conclusive if you pick up every information and put it together. Have you heard of this term called systematic theology? Okay, systematic theology means a theology that is systematic. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, systematic theology means if you're trying to study a particular subject in the according to, you want to study a particular subject or truth in the Bible, you got to read from Genesis all the way to Revelation and pick up every verses pertaining to this subject, for example, end time. You have to pick up maybe more than end time. For example, tribulation or rapture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And it has to be consistent. If there's one verse that proves otherwise, then you could go back to Genesis, read through again to Revelation, make sure that whether it's pre-tribulation rapture or post-tribulation rapture, every verse that you pick up from the Bible is consistent. If there's a conflict, there's an inconsistency, then you cannot conclude. Amen? So the first step in studying end time is you have to pick up every detailed information. So don't be in a hurry. Anyway, Jesus is not coming back tomorrow. And Jesus is not coming, I can guarantee you. Is that a right language? Guarantee you. Okay. I can guarantee Jesus will not come back within the next 7 years. If he come back tomorrow, he can come here. Tomorrow I'll be here. Anyway, if he come back, I shouldn't be here already. Okay. If he comes back tomorrow, come here and look for me. I give you my head. I'm that sure. No, not because I'm cocky. Because Bible can tell you that Jesus will not come back anytime. He will not. Bible makes it very clear. There are things have to happen. There are events that have to happen before Jesus come back. He is coming back soon. We're not too sure whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. He's coming back soon. But definitely not within seven years. In my opinion, not even within 10 years or 20 years, because there are many things still yet to happen. Bible actually gives us that detailed information so that when we look, we know it is coming. Amen? So the first one is gather detailed information from the Bible and then put it together. Because the key is we must see the whole picture, not just piecemeal. When you look at it in the piecemeal, you always come to the wrong conclusion. Okay, Chinese has this proverb called 瞎子摸象. Oh, apparently, do you all know Mandarin? Okay, good. Okay, because everybody is kind of like go over the head. That means you want to know what an elephant look like. You got to look at the whole elephant. Okay, don't just look at the trunk. Then you look like a snake, or a ear, or you look like a fan, and so on and so on. Understand? Amen. So the first one, gather detailed information from the Bible. Second is develop clarity, insight, and understanding based on all this information or truth from the Bible. Okay, it is very important. We can understand. We can develop clarity. We can. It's not true. It's a misconception when people say we will not understand. We can. Turn me to Jeremiah 23, verse 20. Jeremiah 23, verse 20. It's in the context of end of the age, okay? Say this. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. Listen to this. In the latter days is one of the common terms that is used to describe end of the age. Latter days. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Consistently, the Bible teaches that we can understand. So we can have clarity. So the second key is develop clarity, insight, and understanding. But that all takes time. Third, cultivate conviction. Cultivate conviction. I always say this. Information and knowledge without conviction is useless. Because if you have no conviction, the moment people challenge you, you will shift your positions. You will shift. So that's why it's very important as we study. This is the key at the end of the day. It's not just study so that we can have some information and then you take some exams and hopefully you get a certificate. The key is you want to develop conviction. Because conviction will cause you to stand firm until the very end. Okay, so that's the third one. Develop conviction. Fourth one, respond. Respond. Because every time God gives us information, he wants us to respond. He wants us to respond. Okay, it's important for us to respond. That's what I always worry about. Because if we keep hearing a message without responding, the Bible makes it very clear that our heart will eventually become dull. So it's very important for us to respond. Okay, the fifth one is be a voice. Be a voice. Why we want to teach this? Because people need to know. There are many information that Bible gives us about end time is to warn the Church of Jesus Christ so that we will prepare ourselves. Because if we prepare ourselves, it will be the finest hour of the Church of Jesus Christ. If we do not prepare ourselves, it will be challenging because it's going to be the most intense and traumatic time because that's what the Bible talks about. That's why we one of the mandates that God gives to us of this ministry is to be the voice, you know, is to let people know so that we can prepare ourselves, okay? Now I'm going to talk about why we need to study end time. Okay, I give you five reasons why we need to study end time. Then I'm going to quickly run through some misconceptions. Okay, then we're going to go to Matthew 24. Okay, why we need to study end time. Okay, five reasons, just simple five reasons. The first one is the major theme in the Bible. Many are surprised by that. It's a major theme in the Bible. Not just in the Old Testament. You will not fully understand major prophet and minor prophet. If you don't see beyond that, much of that story in the major prophet and minor prophet, God is using it to communicate what is going to happen at the end of the age. It's the same with epistles. If you read Romans all the way to Jude, I mean, you can add in the book of Revelation. One of the central and major themes of the Bible is the return of Jesus. It's so crucial. It's so crucial. Okay. There is such a huge neglect in the Church of Jesus Christ because we kind of like do not emphasize on this topic. Like I say, end time is more than just another subject. End time is very much part of the whole redemptive story of God. I'll define for you what is end time. That's one of the reasons why we primarily preach the gospel of grace. No, the gospel of grace is important. But gospel of grace is not the full counsel of the gospel. Tell me the Acts 20. Acts 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Acts 20, verse 27. Paul said this, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." End time is part of the whole counsel of God. End time is part of that whole picture of the salvation plan of God that God initiated in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Not that God suddenly lose patience because the world is getting worse and worse. So he kind of like came up with a new idea, you know. I'm going to wipe out the whole world. No, that is not what end time is about. End time is always part of the redemptive plan of God that God initiated since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Just that it's at the tail end of the entire redemptive plan of God called the good news, the gospel. Okay, tell me to Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. You know, see, the Lord exhorted us to preach the gospel. Gospel of the kingdom of God. We primarily preach the gospel of grace, which is not wrong, but it's not the whole counsel of God. Let's read Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the, what? Kingdom will be preached in all the world. We are commanded to preach the gospel of the kingdom. There are three aspects to the gospel of our kingdom. The first one, of course, is Jesus died for us on the cross. There is grace. If we receive him, we are saved. Second is repentance. There is the need for repentance. Third one is the return of the king to establish his kingdom here on earth called the Millennium Kingdom for 1,000 years. It's always the major theme in the Bible, especially the early church. You know the word hope in the epistles is a very much mentioned word. The word hope, what does it mean to the early church? They are not hoping for tomorrow will be better. You know what they are hoping for? They are hoping for the return of Jesus. Every time when Paul mentioned about hope, it's always in the context of Jesus coming back again. Because if Jesus is not coming back, tomorrow is not going to be better. You know? The situation, the era they are living in is very different from us. Our hope can be, hopefully next year I have 13-month bonus. Or I have a promotion. My salary will be better. No, their hope is not tomorrow will be better. situation will be better because they are highly persecuted. Their hope is the return of Jesus. I challenge you to study this word, as this word, especially in the New Testament. Hope is always in the perspective of returning of Jesus. It's a major theme in the Bible. And the New Testament church, the first century church, actually believed that Jesus will return within their lifetime. I'll explain to you why. Okay, take me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13, which one of the best verses that define the word hope. What does the early church hope for? Okay. The word hope actually is central around the return of Jesus. That is what they are hoping for. Okay. Now we, truth be told, not many people go around the world actually hope for the second coming of Jesus because we have no idea. We don't talk a lot about it. Okay. All we understand, our understanding is, oh, something terrible is going to happen. No one is going to hope for something terrible is going to happen. Okay. We don't hope because we don't understand, because we do not talk much about it. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Okay. Paul actually called it the blessed hope, the ultimate hope. The number one hope that the church of Jesus Christ is yearning for. Not signs and wonders. I think we should strive for signs and wonders, contend for greater signs and wonders. But the number one hope, they call it the glorious hope, the blessed hope, is the return of Jesus. They're hoping. And then you begin to understand why Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 talked about that hastening. We can hasten the coming of the Lord, but we are unlikely to hasten the coming of the Lord if it's not something that we yearn for, something that we hope for. You know, the Bible teaches us that we can hasten the return of Jesus. That's why I always tell the young people, please help me. I hope within my lifetime I can witness it. Who is below 35 here? Actually, I shouldn't ask. Below 35. Wow, you know. It could be your generation. I'll prove it to you later. Let's read Titus 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? What is the blessed hope? The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is their hope. It's the major theme in the Bible. We don't really yearn for it because we talk very little about it. That's why we have no clue. We have no clue. Okay, so that's the first one, major theme in the Bible. Second, end time generation is the most talked about or most written about generation in the Bible. It is true. There are 150 chapters in the Bible that have end time as their main theme. Main emphasis is the most talked about, most written about. That's all we need to know. Okay, third one. I'm going to go quick because I realize I barely begun. It's already 3:30. Okay, third one. End time generation is a generation that God announced with most prophetic sign. Most prophetic sign. And you know that the Bible gives a lot of information. Sign, whether it's sign events, sign trend, or cosmic sign, to look out for, to know the return of Jesus is soon, much more than the first coming of Jesus. There are very little sign about the first coming of Jesus. There are in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, but it's not that much, as well as not so clear and evident. But when you search about the second coming, there are a lot. So to say that we cannot know, we will not know, actually it contradicts the Bible. The Bible makes it very clear that we can know. No, we will not know the exact time and hour. I need to keep emphasizing it. But we can know. Soon, within the generation, we can know. There are sign events. Okay, the Bible gives us three kinds of signs. Sign events. What is sign event? Sign event is an event that predicted in the Bible to alert us when we see some of this event, we know that it is near. One of the sign events, return of Israel. return of Israel. I will explain to you what this is about. Before 1948, you know, we do not fully understand end time prophecy. Because every end time prophecy in the Bible is always with the understanding that Israel is back in her land. That's why the church came out with this theory called replacement theory. Have you heard of replacement theory? That means the church has kind of like replaced Israel right now. We are the spiritual Israel. Not true. Okay. But once Israel came back, 1948, and then Jerusalem returned to the leadership of Israel, the eschatological time clock began to tick again. Eschatological time clock means end time. Okay, just a big word for, That means when Israel returned, this is one of the major signs. When Israel returned, you know that it's near. So there are many sign events, okay, to tell us that we are the generation. But we cannot conclude exactly when. How long? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? No one knows for sure. But we will not have more than 100 years. We will not. We will not have more than 100 years. So we say, wow. Whew. To me, it's, why you want to be around? I'll tell you why I want to be around. It's the finest hour of the Church of Jesus Christ if we are prepared. If we are prepared. So there are sign events. Then there are sign trends, okay? Sign trend, that means escalating trend in society that signal the return of Jesus. For example, increase of earthquake. Increase of earthquake. I mean, if you... I know I'm not asking you to be expert in earthquake, but if you're going to do some search, you realize that for the last 20 years, the number of earthquake and the intensity of earthquake has increased tremendously. There are enough statistics to prove that. So these are trend events, as well as decaying of moral value. The Bible talks about it. When you look at the decaying of moral value, you know, we are seeing all this, like pornography. We haven't even reached the peak of the decay in terms of pornography. We are only at the tip of the iceberg. That's the key thing. You know, that's all I like. No, I don't really like that term, but John Piper actually described it correctly. We are a pornified. We are a pornified society. Unbelievable. No, we are at the tip of the iceberg. We even haven't reached there, but we are raising towards there. We are seeing signs of it. You know this LGBT issue? Just go back 10 years ago. It was really not an issue. And 10 more. Is it 10 years ago? Yeah, about slightly more than 10 years ago, I actually saying that, mark my word, 10 years from now, this LGBT issue will be a global issue, even in Singapore. Then many people kind of like didn't pay attention. I wish we recorded then. We just started. There's no recording so that we can prove a point. Now, the key is not to prove a point. The key is that the Bible actually gives us enough signs. So these are trend signs. Third one is cosmic sign. Okay, cosmic sign is not going to happen until very end. You know, like blood moon, sun. No, blood moon, sun turn into darkness. Okay, you know, just to sidetrack a little bit. All the prophecy about blood moon and so on, pointing to end time. You know, over the last few years, we heard all this, right? It's not what the Bible talks about. Not yet. Key is we need to have discernment and understanding what the Bible say. I think especially last year or 2 years ago, there's this huge hoo-ha about, oh, blood moon and so on. No, the blood moon that the Bible prophesied, especially Joel 2, verse 28 to 32, is not a natural phenomenon. You know how did it happen? God tell the Church of Jesus Christ, this is going to happen on precisely what day? Even scientists cannot prove it. God said, tell the people, when this happens, tell them something serious is coming. So don't worry right now. People talk about blood moon, end time is coming. You know, I put on my Facebook because they say April 14, you know, end time. Blood moon is coming. So I put there, you know, yeah, it's not going to happen because it's not what it's talking about. Meanwhile, remember to pay your tax. Because April 14 is a submission day, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so some people, now I have to pay tax. No. So you need to know what the Bible talks about. The Bible has enough information, okay? So there are enough sign trend. There are enough sign, okay? Fourth one. which is one of the main reasons why we study end time. Okay. The generation in which Jesus returned is the most dramatic generation in all human history, with two extremes. Two extremes. Okay, take me to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. That's why to me, when I teach about end time, the goal is not so that we understand information. The goal is so that I will awaken people to understand the seriousness of what is to come, that we will prepare ourselves. If we prepare ourselves, it will be the finest hour of the Church of Jesus Christ. If we do not prepare ourselves, it's going to be challenging. It will be challenging because darkness is going to increase to the measure that we do not understand. Occultic power is going to increase to the measure that we do not understand. What we have right now, like what I'm doing right now, preaching, is going to make it. We need real power. We need real authority. The church has lacked power and authority right now. We have to prepare ourselves. There will be grace if we prepare ourselves. It's going to be the finest hour of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be about being creative, good ideas, you know, preach a good sermon, people applause. It's when you speak or when you pray, do you push back darkness? It's not about crowd attending your meetings anymore. It's about real conflict of light and power. That's why it's going to be happen at the end of the age. That's why it's so vital. Okay, take me to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Now, I don't want to spend much time on this is because we need to understand the issue why we need to study end time. It's not just so that we have more information. Because this is real. This is going to happen. God wants the church that is strong, mature, prophetic, moving in signs and wonders with authority to arise. If not, the world have no hope. That kind of darkness that is arising. If we think that we have power, we are being naive. We are being naive. You think Singapore church is in revival? No way. We have church growth, but we are not in revival. We are far. I'm not saying it's bad, but that it's not good enough. Turn to Isaiah 60. Because this is important when I talk about that. That it's going to be a most dramatic generation with two great extremes at the end of the age. Because whenever we talk about end time, we always preach either two extremes. No, either one extreme. Either two extremes, that means four, okay? Either one extreme. Either people preach that everything is going to be positive, don't worry. That's not what the Bible says. Or another extreme, everything is going to be negative. Just buy a cave and hide in the cave. And buy some mineral water. You know, how much mineral water can you buy? You know. So is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse at the end of the age? What does the Bible say? And we don't just preach the positive, neither do we just preach the negative. We need to talk about both extremes. Because the Bible talks about both extremes. So is it going to be better? Or is it going to be worse? What does the Bible say? What I say is not important. What any other people say is not important. But what does the Bible say? Is it going to be better? Or is it going to be worse? You know, the Bible says both. Both. Light will get brighter if the church would align ourselves with the Lord. But darkness will get darker. We have no idea the kind of power that is coming forth. Take me to Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. So when we study end time, the goal is more than just have information. It has to provoke us to understand so that we prepare ourselves. If we prepare ourselves, it will be the finest hour. It will be glorious. It will be glorious. Because the end time church is going to far surpass the book of Acts. Amen. Y'all don't look excited. I look very... we're going to far surpass. Because John 14, you know what Jesus promised? We will do what? greater works than him. You know that prophecy, that promise did not fulfill in Book of Acts yet. No way. Jesus walked on water. They didn't walk on water. And many other things. We were far surpassed. We were far surpassed even in maturity. We were far surpassed. In end time, Book of Acts, not everyone prophesied. But what did Joel 2 promise? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughter, prophesy. Old men see vision. No, I know. No, I just twisted it around. Old men dream dreams. Maybe that's true because you're old, you sleep a little bit more. Okay. Old men dream dreams. Young men see vision. It's going to be norm. Whoever main ministry is prophecy room, you have to close shop. Nobody come for your prophecy room anymore. Because everybody will prophesy. The glory of the church. Wow. Wow. So light is going to get brighter. Darkness is going to get darker. It's both extreme. It's going to be a clash, you know, not clash of the titan. Clash, the great conflict of light and darkness. Of course, we know who will win. Okay. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's going to be glorious. We are going to shine. But see, unfortunately, we only stop at verse 1. I know, many churches quote this verse, that's it. We miss verse 2. What does verse 2 say? Behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Deep darkness. Okay, some translations say deep darkness. Yeah, deep darkness. What am I talking about? Okay. Deep darkness over nations. There'll be the increase of both extremes. One more. That's why it's so important for us to understand. One more. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. That's why in our house, we also teach our children on end time. A few years ago, we actually teach them on the book of Revelation. You know? Help them to understand what is a seal, trumpet, and the bowl. Okay, no, the bowl, not the bowl for eating rice. You know? The bowl judgment that the Bible talks about. Because we want them to know what will happen, maybe, or definitely, whatever you call it, within their lifetime. Joel 2, verse 11. Joel 2, verse 11. Okay, let's read the second half of the verse 11 that prophet Joel give us that insight of the two extreme at the end of the age. He said this, for the day of the Lord, another term that describes end time in the Bible, day of the Lord. I'll define for you later. Okay, for the day of the Lord is what? It's both extreme. Great and the Bible didn't say just terrible. Very terrible. Great and very terrible. If you go to Malachi chapter 4, Prophet Malachi said, it's going to be great and dreadful. Dreadful. That's why we need to be aware. Not to cause fear, to cause the soberness. That's why Paul, if you read the letter of Paul, every time he talks about end time and so on, he always say, be sober. And pray. One of the key in preparing ourselves is to pray. Is to pray. So the fourth reason why we study end time is the generation in which Jesus returned is the most dramatic generation in all human history with two great extremes. If someone tell you that everything is going to be good, he's not telling you the truth. At least not entirely true. If someone tell you that everything is going to be bad, neither is he telling you everything is true. He's not telling you everything. It's going to be good and it's going to be bad. Light is going to get brighter. Darkness is going to get darker. Okay, there's two extremes, positive and negative. Fifth one, which is the last reason. Last reason. The generation that Jesus returned give us the most revelation of the heart and leadership of Jesus. There are a lot. Much more than the first coming. First coming, you have about four gospel, which is a total about 89 chapters. But second coming, there are about 150 chapters. Main reason is the Lord wants us to be excited about Jesus so that we yearn for him to return. And that's one of the main theme of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is not primarily about end time. Yes, end time is one of the major theme, but the book of Revelation is primarily about Jesus. About Jesus. We don't yearn for him to return is because we don't really know who he is. That's why the book of Revelation is written to awaken our heart with a passion for the Lord. Amen? Okay, let me just run through seven misconceptions about end time. Then we're going to take a break because I realize now is about 3:50. Can you go for another 10 minutes? Then we're going to take about 5-10 minutes break. I'm going to give you seven misconceptions, okay, about end time. You know, it's a very common misconception. There are probably more, but I just want to give seven. This seven is very vital. Okay, the first one is this. The first misconception. We cannot understand the signs of the time because no one else can. Why even try? That's not true. That's not true. There are enough information in the Bible. The Bible gives us 150 chapters. I read it just now, Jeremiah 23, verse 20. In the latter days, we will understand it perfectly. We can. Okay. Second misconception. Some think that understanding end time will minimize the work of the kingdom. So don't teach about it. Okay, don't teach about it. People say, don't teach, you'll cause fear. Not true. I just taught end time I should mention the country, okay, because it's a bit more secretive. Many of them walk away and say, wow, I didn't realize that this is what end time is all about. I'm excited. No one told us. We always have this idea is negative, negative, and negative. No. So a lot of people say, hey, don't teach, you cause fear. So don't even teach young believer. I give you a thought. Second Thessalonians. Okay, primarily it's Paul's teaching to the church of Thessalonica. That two books, Paul actually mentioned a lot about end time and the return of Jesus. Guess how old was the church of Thessalonica when Paul taught them about end time? Guess. No one wants to guess. Okay, never mind. Just go quick. 3-week-old. 3-week-old. Okay. You see, one of the reasons why we don't yearn for eternity, because we hardly talk about eternity. End time is part of the process. And that's where a lot of wrong kind of teaching begin to rise up, like prosperity theory and so on, because we primarily living for this age. No, I'm not against being rich. That's why I always tell people, if you have more money, you don't know what to do, please give it to me. I know what to do. No, not to buy a big house, but that the kingdom of God need money to advance his kingdom, to advance the gospel. Okay, so no, I'm not against that. But because we hardly talked about some of this thing, end time, millennium kingdom, eternal perspective, it causes us to always live for this age, not eternity. You are not going to be lazy. Basically, don't talk about end time, people be lazy. No, you're not going to be lazy. Because how do you live for eternity is how do you live right now. That's why I always tell people, if you have money, you want to invest in eternity, give to this too, Israel and the poor. You're investing for yourself, not Lehman's brother. Anyway, Lehman's brother gone already. Okay, you're not investing in this age. You're investing so that you reap the reward in the next age. This is very important. So misconception number two is something that understanding end time will minimize the work of the kingdom. No. You will not. If you teach it properly, it does not cause fear. If you teach it properly and correctly, it actually causes people to want to hasten. One of the ways to hasten the return of Jesus is preach the gospel of the kingdom to the end of the earth. You are not likely to fold your arm there and say, oh, now we just sit there, don't do anything. It propels you to work harder because you yearn for this age to be transit to the next age. Amen? Third misconception. Don't bother to find out because everything will pan out in the end. You know what I mean? I'm using American language. It will pan out. That means everything will work out. Yeah, sure, everything will work out. But is it going to work out better for us or worse for us? We are assuming that everything will be all right. You know, there's a great end time prophecy. Paul called it the great falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He's not referring to non-believer because the word fall away applies to believer. Non-believer cannot fall away. There's nothing to fall away. We have no idea that many people will fall away at the end of the age. They will deny Jesus. They'll turn against Jesus. Their heart will grow cold. So people say, oh, don't worry, everything will pan out. Sure, everything will pan out. Everything that the Bible talks about is going to happen. But is it going to turn out better for us? Or is it going to turn out worse for us? It will be glorious if we understand and prepare ourselves. Wow. You know, yeah, I've been reading a few story about martyrdom. Okay, no, I'm not being gross. I mean, I read is because these guys are willing to die for Jesus. Unbelievable. What did they see? It's going to be the same for the end time church. You'll be glorious. It will be glorious. Okay, so there's a third one. Fourth one. We are not to know the time and season of his return because the Bible told us so. Okay, I'll explain to you after the break. Okay, that's not true too. Fifth one. It's very common, fifth one. Every generation of believers believe that they are the generation that Jesus will return. Have you heard that before? Every generation of believers believe that they are the generation that Jesus will return. You know it's not true. It's not true. There's only two generations. No, yes, it's true to a certain extent that in every generation, there's always that pocket of people who believe that Jesus will return within their generation. But majority of the body of Christ who believe that Jesus will return within their generation, there's actually only two generations believe in that. The early church and our generation. The early church and our generation. It's unprecedented. There's a reason why the early church believe in that. I'll explain to you when I talk about Matthew chapter 24. Okay, so this is not true. Number six. Jesus can return anytime. Again, it's not true. Jesus cannot return anytime. There are things that has to happen before he can return. One of the signs is this. The temple of Israel has to be rebuilt. It's not there yet. The Jewish sacrificial worship has to return. It's not there yet. So Jesus cannot return. In fact, I say it just now. If he comes back tomorrow, I give you my head. He will not. This is not true. So, I mean, when I got saved, people tell me this. So when I was bathing, you know, I remember more than 20 years ago, I said, Jesus won't come back now. I'll be caught naked. You know, yeah. No, he will not. He will not come back within the next 7 to 10 years. He will not. So this is a misconception. So don't worry. He's not going to come back tomorrow. But don't be casual too. Amen? Last one. Let's agree to disagree. Again, no, I understand from the heart perspective. Okay, we don't argue and cause disunity based on the theology. Even if we don't agree, we should love one another. But they agree to disagree that argue about that. Oh yeah, you are right, I'm right too. There's no such thing as you are right, I'm right too. There's truth, there's only one truth. Amen? For example, pre-tribulation rapture or post-tribulation rapture. There has to be one, isn't it? I know. There are new argument. There's two rapture. No, the Bible never talked about two rapture. There's only one rapture. I'll prove it to you later. Okay. Pre-tribulation rapture or post-tribulation rapture. Which one? If I am right, then you got to be wrong, isn't it? Amen? If you are right, then I got to be wrong, isn't it? See, the key, I'm not saying that, I'm saying I'm 100% right, but I've studied enough to know what the Bible says. But I'm always holding on to some of this conclusion with an open mind. If someone can show it to me from the Bible that I am wrong, I will change my position. I will shift my position. Amen? So the last misconception, agree to disagree. Okay, then that means you pre-tribulation rapture. Meanwhile, because of my position, I'm staying there. No, there's only one truth. And I call this misconception because it causes us to stay at where we believe, that we don't actually search the scripture to find out what the scripture say. You know why? A lot of us, when we read the Bible, we have already decided what we believe. We are using the Bible to prove what I believe is correct. That shouldn't be the way that we read the Bible. We should always read the Bible with an open heart, an open mind. Of course, don't be so open-minded until your brain drop out. You need discernment. Okay. Yeah. We must read with open heart, open mind, so that when you ask yourself, is what I believe true? Oh, actually not true. Or, wow, it's true. Instead of you trying to force into your belief. Okay. You probably know that I believe in rapture after tribulation. Let me just give you a thought, then we're going to take about 5 minutes break. I used to believe the church will be raptured before tribulation. I used to. Until one day, about 15 years ago, someone challenged me, go and read the Bible again. See what does the Bible say. He didn't tell me to change my positions. Neither am I asking you to change your position. I will show you what does the Bible say later. See, go and read and find out for yourself. Come out with a conclusion for yourself. Pray for understanding. So I read. I got shock of my life. I got shock of my life. So this is a 7th misconception. Agree to disagree. No, this is not talking about I'm trying to cause division. This is about that. We owe it to ourselves to find out. What does the Bible say? You owe it to yourself to find out. What does the Bible say? I say again, what I say, my opinion is not the most important. What does the Bible say is the most important. Amen?